Good afternoon. We've been conducting research on using life cycle assessment to determine the carbon footprint and then cost of production system components. And today I'm going to report on the pot and pot system. Now, there's a few things we know about global warming potential. One is we know that large amounts of carbon dioxide are being emitted into the air by us, by animals, by the environment. We know that concentration has been increasing and continues to increase. And we know that carbon dioxide, being a greenhouse gas, will trap thermal energy, thermal radiation. So those are things that we know for sure. We know that climate is changing. The current situation is a whole lot easier to document than the future is to predict, as in most cases. But we know that we need to be paying attention to carbon dioxide emissions in the air. And also in our industry, we need to be talking about the impact of our products on CO2 concentration. So carbon footprint is basically the global warming potential of greenhouse gases. And they are expressed in terms of kilograms of CO2 equivalent. Other greenhouse gases such as methane and nitrous oxide are in the atmosphere in much smaller quantities, but they actually have a higher global warming potential. Methane is 28 compared to 1 for carbon dioxide, and nitrous oxide is 298. But they're in the atmosphere at much less concentrations. Life cycle assessment is a tool. It's a research tool to systematically account for the diverse environmental impacts of those interrelated components of a system. And it's called a complete life cycle, or often cradle to grave, although we can have seed to gate, and that's basically what we'll talk about today. These are governed by international standards for life cycle assessment, as well as carbon footprint requirements and guidelines. We know some things. Here are plants that we've looked at and have a carbon footprint of propagation to gate for field-grown materials. The red maple representing deciduous trees, shade trees, blue spruce representing evergreen trees, red buds, flowering trees, for example, and a deciduous shrub and a evergreen shrub. These are field grown, and this is the propagation to gate carbon footprint for these, and we won't spend much time with that, but basically it relates to density of production and the amount of equipment that it takes to move them. So the first thing you do in a life cycle assessment is you take an inventory of everything. You take every input product or material that goes into that system, every chemical that's used and when it's used, each equipment use, horsepower and throttle and load, etc., and other energy inputs that are not directly related to that product, such as pumping, irrigation, and things that are related to the product, but the electricity in the office is not. And then we've added to that a new element that does not contribute to the global warming potential of a product, but definitely to their cost. And so we add to that analysis of this inventory the labor input. And then we have, in this case, a number 25 pot and pot container with a 2.5-inch caliper red maple as the final finished product. 2 years in a rooting bed. 2 years lined out in the field, a 5 to 6 foot, 1.8 meter branched bare root liner is then transported to a pot and pot for 2 full production seasons. Transported to market, planted in the landscape, living in the landscape for its use phase for 60 years, and then there's a takedown and disposal. And we will only concentrate on the part that we've transported to market. So quickly, this is the global warming potential of the rooted cutting in that bed for 2 years. You have material global warming potential, the equipment global warming potential, and the total global warming. Oh, there's my pointer. Global warming potential. And we just quickly say there's contributors, equipment being slightly more than material, but still 0.08 kilograms of CO2. So limited. Then we took that 2 years in the bed and went to 2 years and lined out in the field. And this is the global warming potential of that, which also included the transplanting that bare root liner, rooted cutting out of the bed. But overall, that 2 years, including that liner input, was 1.2 kilograms of CO2 equivalent. But then we put it in the pot and pot system, where we transplant that in a number 25 container. And we see that over that 2.5, it's about 2 years of production, two growing seasons, about 18 months actually, global warming potential of 15.3. What contributes to that? The primary contributors are the landscape fabric, the insert or growing container is significant, the substrate, as well as that liner that we potted in that. Those are the primary contributors, but other contributors including the pot and pot system installation and the fact that we allocated that would be a 30-year life for that system, as well as fertilization. And these elements here are equipment and materials that contribute to the global warming potential. And graphically, you can see it presented here to give you an idea of what the major contributors are to the global warming potential or carbon footprint of this cutting to gate. Installation of the system to start with, the pot as well as potting up that liner, the substrate, fertilization, and the liner itself contributes the most to the global warming potential. Therefore, our targets for us to look at if we want to look at the potential for decreasing the global warming potential are greenhouse gas emissions during production. We have a product that actually sequesters carbon dioxide, so we have to account for that because it's net that we're interested in. So at the gate, that 2.5-inch caliper red maple has sequestered 4.5 kilograms of CO2. Now, with life cycle assessment, we're looking at a 100-year assessment period. So we use the procedure with PAS 2050 as a guideline that we are establishing carbon fixation, carbon sequestration, weighted as a portion of 100 years. 60-year tree, obviously it's all back into the atmosphere, but we're only accounting for the amount during that time that's going to, and how long it stays sequestered, how long the carbon stays sequestered. And so the carbon footprint at the gate for this 25-gallon container is 10.7. Sustainability, we talk about a lot and hopefully act a lot about. But what I'll show you so far is the environmental leg of this three-legged stool. But if it is not sustainable economically, it's not sustainable. Also in that factor of the three-legged stool sustainability is the social acceptability of that product or process. Or some people refer to that's the market. That's the driver of the market. So adding the economic aspect to this, then we can get a better picture for the grower to make decisions, not only based on global warming potential, but also on cost. And Charlie Hall tells me that a rule of thumb is 48 to 52% of the cost of these products are variable cost. Labor's another 35 to 40, but fixed costs in the industry are tremendously variable. Insurance cost, tax on land, how much capital is you have borrowed. So we focus specifically and entirely on the variable cost. Here's this same graph that I showed you earlier, or table rather, and we have material cost, equipment cost, labor cost, and total cost. So for that rooted cutting, it's about 35 cents of variable cost when it comes out of that bed. It goes into the lined out in the field for 2 years, and at the end of that, the 5 to 6 foot branched liner, bare root liner, has a cost, a variable cost, of about $5.38. Look at the portion of that that's in labor. So quite a bit of labor at this stage. Not as much equipment because of the density of the planting as well as the smaller cost of or the smaller product doesn't require as much equipment. We look at the variable cost of the total production, including we purchased liners from another nursery. I showed you that $5.38 is what variable cost went into that liner. But then this pot and pot producer, on average, most of them purchased from someone else, from the propagator. So we have in this model purchasing a 5 to 6 foot bare root for $18. $22 is there because all of them didn't live. So you have to assign a portion of that cost to the ones that did live. So we look at this bottom line of $55, and 11 of that is in labor cost, very little in equipment, but a lot in material cost. And if you look at the big contributors to that, they look a lot like the ones for global warming potential. The exception of that would be the staking and training, which is primarily a labor investment. And the fabric fell out of the, because it's not as costly compared to the other elements relative to its global warming potential. The installation of the pot and pot system added another $3.28. And transportation from the field, that is the equipment that's carrying relatively few of these, then you spread that over fewer, that equipment transport over a fewer number of plants. And if you want to look at it graphically, this is the cost, where the liner is a major contributor to the cost, as well as potting that liner in a container. Substrate, not as big a contributor to the cost as it was the global warming potential, for example. And then staking and training was a blip on the radar in terms of global warming potential, but has a pretty good impact on the total cost. One thing about these models is you can turn some so-whats into what-ifs. So you can run the model and look at other factors, and the sky is the limit in terms of where you can look at this. Chose one. What if instead of the 225 gallon containers you get on a tractor trailer, what if you get 300? I use this because Charlie saw that in action at some nursery he visited that was after we established this model, that they had some innovative ways to get 300 on that tractor trailer. Well, that would decrease the carbon footprint of the cutting to landscape by 6.63 and reduce the cost by 87 cents. So what are we learning on this process? Well, we're learning the more that we know about the carbon footprint and the variable costs of individual operations dissected in that system, it will help the managers increase efficiency in their decision making to increase efficiency in their production. We also found that a few of the inputs and processes in the production account for the majority of the carbon footprint as well as the variable cost. So the manager needs to major on the majors, look at the things that made their major contributions and what they can do to manage those more efficiently. The life cycle ecosystem services greatly outweigh the greenhouse gas emissions during production. And I've showed you none of that data, but I'll just tell you that this 10, the carbon footprint of 10 out the gate, at the end of life, including all you invest in taking that tree down, is 671 positive impact on the kilograms of CO2. So a minus 671. So that is something that the fourth thing that we've said, that the industry should market our products for the life cycle impact. And also the industry's success in reducing their carbon footprint at the gate, and especially targeting environmentally conscious consumers with that type of information, which the upcoming populations are just that, more environmentally conscious. Questions?